गुरुश्चा भगवांस की भिन्श मौली पाद कल्पथारो फलवा सखारेशु लीला स्वयं भार रसम लभते जया श्री। All glories to Chintamani and my initiating spiritual master Somagiri. All glories to my instructing spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who wears peacock feathers in his crown. Under the shade of his lotus feet, which are like desire trees, Jai Shri Radharani enjoys the transcendental mellow of an eternal consort. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is from the Krishna Karnamrita, which was written by the great Vaishnava sannyasi named Bilva Mangala Thakur, who is also known as Lila Shuka. He intensely desired to enter into the eternal pastimes of the Lord. And he lived at Vrindavan for 700 years in the vicinity of Brahmakund, a still existing bathing tank in Vrindavan. The history of Bilva Mangala Thakur is given in a book called Sri Ballabha Digvijay. He appeared in the 8th century Shaka era in the province of Dravida and was the chief disciple of Vishnu Swami. In a list of temples and monasteries kept in Shankaracharya's monastery in Dwarka, Bilva Mangala is mentioned as the founder of the Dwarkadish temple there. He entrusted the service of this deity to Hari Brahmachari, a disciple of Ballabha Bhatt. Bilva Mangala Thakur actually entered into the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. He has recorded his transcendental experiences and appreciations in the book known as Krishna Karnamrita. As part of the introduction to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is here citing the invocation verse of that great classic literature, Krishna Karnamrita. The history of this book and its author is of very great importance to the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. The Krishna Karnamrita is perhaps one of the first literatures since the time of Vyasadeva, where the utmost importance of Sri Radharani is glorified as the emphasis of this great book. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while he was traveling through South India during his visit to Kerala, he was near the city of Trichur, on the bank of the Krishna River. He found a group of Brahmins singing this beautiful poem of the Krishna Karnamrita. This place happens to be the native place of Bilva Mangala Thakur. He was born in the Kerala state, it is believed, near the town of Trichur, and he was from a very high Brahmin family, and he was very, very learned. And he was a great scholar of the Vedas as well. And he had all pious credits in his birth, in his upbringing. And as I say, he was a very, very learned scholar and very, very renowned. But for some inconceivable reason, he had one weakness. He was exceedingly attached to one woman. Her name was Chintamani. She was a woman who was a professional dancer and she was also a prostitute. Of course, she was very beautiful and very charming. And it is described that Bilva Mangala practically each and every night could not do without having an affair with her. And it is described that one evening there was a great storm and the river Krishna swelled up very wide, and he lived across the river from Chintamani. So all the boats that evening, they were not going because of the weather. But he was so desperate that he found a dead corpse floating. He got onto that, and somehow or other he managed to cross the river in that way. By the time he got to the other side of the river, he was bleeding. He was practically unconscious. His clothes were in rags. He was soaking wet. He was freezing. And he came to the home of Chintamani. And there was an outer wall, a gate. And when he came there, because of the storm and all the thunder, all the doors were closed, all the windows were closed. He was screaming, crying out, Chintamani, come, open the gate. And no one could hear him. So in great desperation, he found a serpent hanging from that wall. And grabbing hold to the tail of the serpent, he scaled to the top of the wall. And when he reached the top of the wall, he was so utterly exhausted that he fell down to the other side. And he felt with such a thump that he was utterly unconscious. And he was practically a dead man. He was on the verge of death. At that time, Chintamani happened to see him laying there. So she came out of the house, and he was unconscious. And he was on the verge of leaving his body. And she personally carried him into her chambers, her room, and for many, many hours she was nursing him back by giving him all sorts of medical care to try to bring him back to consciousness. Actually, if it was not for Chintamani finding him in that situation and caring with such sympathy for him, he would have died. And when he came to consciousness, she looked at him, and her first words were words of chastisement. She said, I am a prostitute. I am involved in the most abominable activities, because that is my livelihood. And therefore I am so degraded. You are a Brahmin. And you are a great scholar of the Vedas. And you are so attached to me, to this body of stool, urine. If you had so much intensity to achieve Krishna as you do for me, you were willing to risk your life. You were willing to die just to have sex with me. If you had so much intensity of attraction to Krishna as you do for sex life to me, you would become the greatest of all saints. And when he heard this, it was as if Krishna, the Paramatma in the heart, was speaking through her lips. He immediately became enlightened. He realized, yes, this is correct. What am I doing? What am I wasting my life for? So profusely thanking, you can close the door now. Profusely thanking Chintamani, accepting her as his Vartma Pradarshaka Guru. The Vartma Pradarshaka Guru means the guru who first gives you the direction or shows you the way to Krishna consciousness. His whole life was changed and transformed. And he left the home of Chintamani and went to one great devotee, sannyasi of the name of Somagiri. And there he surrendered to his lotus feet. He was a bona fide spiritual master. He accepted initiation from him. And he lived with Somagiri. And it is described for some time while he was there, he wrote a beautiful poem about the glories of Vrindavan. And Somagiri was so pleased at his great appreciation and love for Vrindavan that he gave Gilvamangala another name, Lilashuka. And then Somagiri gave his blessings that you should go to Vrindavan. By this time, Lilashuka or Bilvamangala was a sannyasi in the renounced order of life who had completely given his heart for the purpose of simply glorifying Krishna in Vrindavan. And he went to Vrindavan, and when he reached Vrindavan, it is actually, according to some historians, it is said that on his way to Vrindavan, he was doing madhukari, begging from door to door. And when he came to one house of Brahmins, the Brahmin was about to give him some food, and he saw in the back of the room, he had a very beautiful wife. So the Brahmin, he said, "Besides giving you food, is there any other save I can offer you?" He said, "Let me be alone with your wife." So, in this way, the Brahmin, being very respectful to this sannyasi, he allowed Bilvamangala to be alone with his wife. And Bilvamangala, upon looking at her, realized, "My God, how much I want to have sex with her, enjoy her." And then his guru, Somagiri, through his heart, Paramatma, gave him the realization that, again, his mind was being diverted from Krishna. And there was nothing in this world worth diverting your mind against Krishna. And there's nothing worth having that diverts your mind away from Krishna. So the wife of Brahman, she said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Please give me 2 pins. And she came and gave him these 2 big pins, and he plucked out his eyes and blinded himself at that time. What is the use of these eyes if they are only bringing my attention away from Krishna? The purpose of all my existence is only to bring me closer to Krishna." And then he went to Vrindavan. And he lived at the holy place in Vrindavan called Brahmakund. And there it is said that Lord Sri Krishna himself would personally come in his youthful form of Gopal and give him beautiful darshans. And there also he realized to the highest extent the madhurya or conjugal lila between Radha and Krishna. And in the transcendental atmosphere of Vrindavan Dham, he compiled this beautiful book of the name Krishna Karnamrita. And within Krishna Karnamrita, as I am saying, it gives very, very, very beautiful, beautiful glorification of the supreme love of Krishna for Radha and Radha for Krishna. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his native place of Bilvamangala Thakur, and he heard these Brahmins chanting the Krishna Karnamrita, the sweetness of the sound of this transcendental poetry utterly captivated the heart of Lord Sri Chaitanya. He became so much pleased, so much in ecstasy. He was thinking that this, the essence of my mission, is being explained right here in this book, The Love of Radha for Krishna. And the love of Krishna for Radha. So he made copy of this book, and he kept it with him. And when he returned to Jagannath Puri, he gave one copy of this book to Ramananda Rai, and he told him that this is the highest Vaishnava literature. And it is described that the last 12 years of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, he was not in a mood of a preacher, but he was simply so much immersed in separation from Krishna that he became reclusive. In the Gambhira, he would exist practically day and night simply crying in separation from Srimati Radharani's, in Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. And it is described that Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar would practically constantly read from four different sources. The four most beloved of all literatures to Sri Chaitanya. One was Krishna Karnamrita by Bilba Mangala Thakur. The other was the Gita Govinda by Jayadev Goswami. The other was the poems by Vijayapati. And the next was the poems by Chandidas. Practically day and night, he was simply immersed in hearing the love affairs of Radha Krishna for this book. Therefore, for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this is a very, very high book, and it is considered very much the authority of the Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But the Acharyas warn us that unless one is free from material desires, he can never really understand these books, the Gita Govinda, the Krishna Karnamrita, the poems of Chandidas or Vidyapati. And therefore they are specially meant for very, very elevated Paramahamsa devotees. Those people who actually have that realization of Madhurya Ras, they can taste the sweetness of this book, which is infinitely intense and sweet. What is established and what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much glorified in his own internal teachings was how the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, in the mood of Vilva Mangala Thakur, they approach Krishna only in obedience to Sri Radharani. There are other devotees of Krishna who approach Krishna directly. But according to the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, to enter into the ras of Raja, one must accept the position of the obedient servant of the maidservant of Sri Radharani. That even Lord falls at the feet of Sri Radharani, begging for her love. It is described that when in the Bhagavatam, that when Sri Radharani left the rasa dance, Lord Sri Krishna could find no happiness or pleasure with any of the other gopis if Srimati Radharani was not present. So he left everything simply searching for her. And according to the literatures of Srila Rupa Goswami, the Leela of Man, when Sri Radharani becomes angry with Krishna, is something very, very profound. Because if Sri Radharani is angry, it is not material anger. It is a transcendental emotion only meant to increase the ecstasy of Krishna. So when she plays this Leela and she ignores Krishna, she will not talk to Krishna, she will not answer back to Krishna's words, she will not look at Krishna. Krishna cannot live, he cannot survive without her love, without her attention. And sometimes Srimati Radharani would simply look down, and when she would feel the tears of Krishna's eyes bathing her lotus feet, then her heart would soften and she would again cast her smile upon Sri Krishna. Therefore, according to Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is always subordinate to the love of Sri Radha. And according to the Gaudiya Vaishnava charges, Rupa Goswami says that if Radha and Krishna were to separate in some argument, every Gaudiya Vaishnava would take the side of Radharani. because they understand that in that way Krishna will be conquered. Krishna is always conquered by love. The holy Leela that we find in Brajadham, especially in Bharasan and Nandagam, is a festival of colors, a festival of competition. Radha and Krishna would meet. Let us compete who can give more love to the other. And we'll express it through the forms of giving sweetmeats and putting colors on one another. In India today, now it's just a chaotic war. Holy, everyone's just throwing colors at your cars and throwing colors, and people are not like Vrindavan. Vrindavan, very graceful, very beautiful, simply all the love of the heart are coming in the form of these colors to offer to the beloved. But at the same time, it was a very competitive, who could give more love to the other. And every year when this holy festival was performed in Vrindavan, it was always Radha and her sakis, Manjari's gopis on one side, and Krishna and these sakas and gopas on the other side. And every year, Radharani's side would win. Krishna cannot defeat Sri Radha's love. He's always defeated. Love always conquers the beloved. So, of Vaishnava literatures, written by Vaishnavas, to record, many Vaishnava historians claim that this Krishna Karnamrita is the first book which revealed to the world amongst Vaishnava authors. We're not talking about the original Vedas, but amongst the Vaishnava authors, commentators of Vedas, and writers of books since the time of Vyasadeva, this is the first book which expresses this type of devotion to the love of Sri Radharani. And therefore it has very paramount importance within our disciplic line. And seeing this, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in his first chapter, is invoking the blessings of Govamangala Thakur, invoking the blessings of the beautiful, beautiful words of Krishna Karnamrita. And this is the first verse where Bilva Mangala Thakur is first offering all glories, his infinite obeisances, to the prostitute Chintamani. It may interest you that this Chintamani, because she gave this instruction to Bilva Mangala Thakur, and because Krishna was so pleased with her after giving him this instruction, which changed his life, she gave up all desire for material enjoyment herself, and she took to the renounced order. And she dedicated her life exclusively to the worship of Krishna. So, all glories to Chintamani, and to my initiating spiritual master, Somagiri. Somagiri was a great acharya in the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. And Bhavamangala Thakur took initiation in this Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. Vishnu Swami Sampradaya is also the disciplic line that Srila Ballabhacharya also received initiation. But before Bhavamangala Thakur, Somagiri, this mood of worship was not revealed in the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. One of the original sannyasis in the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya after Vishnu Swami was Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami was the original commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He also took initiation in this line. And the worshipable deity of Vishnu Swami was Lord Nrsimhadeva. And the Ishtadev, the worshipable deity of the original commentator of the Srimad Bhagavatam, was Lord Nrsimhadev, Sridhar Swami. So the predominating Ishtadev, or worshipable lord of this sampradaya, is Lord Nrsimha. It is one of the four Vaishnava Sampradayas. And what we find here is Prabhupada is explaining that the one version, a very authorized version, of the history of Vilva Mangala Thakur is found in a book entitled the Sri Ballabha Digvijaya, which is the life history of Ballabhacharya. We find how much Ballabhacharya really, he took initiation in this Vishnu Sampradaya, Swami Sampradaya, very much influenced by this divine love of Radha and Krishna, which was presented by Vilva Mangala Thakur and the Krishna Karanamrita. So he accepted initiation in this line from Somagiri. Then he goes on, all glories to my instructing spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who wears peacock feathers in his crown under the shade of his lotus feet, which are like desire trees. Sri Radharani, Jai Shri, enjoys the transcendental mellow of an eternal consort. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found this great literature, he found only one canto of this literature, which is 112 slokas. And this 112 slokas is what we know as the Krishna Karanamrita. It is all that at least Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to us. And this is the first of the 112 slokas. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is quoting it because, in one sense, it is summarizing all of the previous verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because how does he begin scripture of Chaitanya Charitamrita? First he offers his obeisances to all of his instructing gurus. Then he offers his obeisances to his initiating guru. Then he offers obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his diverse energies. And practically, for the last 56 verses that we've been reading, it's been in this progression. And Vilva Mangala Thakur is doing the same thing. First offering obeisances to his instructing guru, Chintamani. Then to his initiating guru, Somagiri. Then to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma within, and then to Srimati Radharani, the Supreme Most Energy. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in the line of Krishna Karanamrita, is writing the book of Chaitanya Charitamrita, because after offering obeisances in the same way, to the same persons who influenced his life in the same way, then he goes on to explain the Leela of Sri Chaitanya. And what Krishna and what Leela Shuka has done is he offers obeisances to the same people the same way. And then he explains the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Now we understand Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya, that there is no difference between Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, because Radha and Krishna, who God is one, but God became two for the purpose of infinite loving exchange. But that same two, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, became one in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Vilva Mangala Thakur's explanation of the divine leela of Radha and Krishna, which follows his obeisances to his gurus, is really identical in one sense, because he's describing the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna after offering obeisances. So similarly, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the embodiment in one form of the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna. So it is for this reason that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very much puts this particular verse right near the beginning in a very, very prominent part of his book. Does everyone understand this principle? Does it make sense? Of course, the subject matter is very high. We may not understand. But we can see the consistency on one level, the consistency and the great, great spirit of respect to the previous acharyas that the bona fide Vaishnavas have. How they perform their devotional contributions to the world according to time and circumstance, they may present it different in detail, but the spirit is the same. The spirit of humbling yourself first before any endeavor can be done. First you must humble yourself before all the instructing gurus. Humble yourself before the initiating guru. Humble yourself before the Lord and His divine energies. Then progress to glorify Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Of the great, great Vaishnava literatures, Krishna Karnamrita as well as Chaitanya Charitamrita are two of the very, very rare authorized literatures which described in great, great beauty the conjugal madhurya ras of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. And according to Swarup Damodar Goswami, this was the special munificence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that no other avatar had ever distributed the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna in his madhurya ras. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so merciful, is giving this highest realization to everyone, even in the lowest position, even to Jagai and Madhai, murderers, criminals. Any questions?
According to some historians, he is also known as Suradas in his later life after he
No. Suradas is a completely different person. That is a mistake many people have. Suradas lived at Chandra Srovar, at Govardhan. But he was a different person. Suradas was born blind. Because they were both blind, many people get them mixed up. According to history, Suradas was born blind. And I was just at his samadhi at the Chandra Sarovar, at the Govardhan Parikram. And also the place where he did his bhajan and wrote all his literatures. He lived at Govardhan Hill most of his life, Suradas. And I believe he wrote many songs in Hindi also, huh?
Yes. He was from Barbata recently.
He was a very, very big devotee. But we accept them as different personalities.
Yes?
Yeah. Chaitanya was a prostitute. Later she became a devotee. That person who actually puts you on the path doesn't mean the first devotee you met. It means the person who actually convinces you to take to the path. Huh? That is your Vardhana Pradarshita Guru.
Once I was coming back from Vrindavan, I was at the station, and he was just saying that there was some property in Vrindavan.
Suradas lived at Chandra Srovar and Babu Mangala Thakur lived at Brahmakund. Brahmakund is in Vrindavan village itself. So, someone has bought the land, or he's bought the land. Hopefully someday we will also have some land in Vrindavan.
Somebody wants to offer us an acre of land, but only if it is made of Astro there.
Where?
On the way to Golden.
Who is that, I guess?
He is wearing one of the temples here. He has told me about 4 or 5 months back. He said that we want to donate this land if you take a hospital of that.
But when you're in Vrindavan, you have to have freedom to do what you like. So we don't want, Vrindavan is not a place you want to get involved in politics. You're not doing things the way you promised. Vrindavan, you want to just develop to your heart's content. Krishna Karnamrita, Gita Govinda by Jayadeva Goswami, and the poems by Chandidas and Vidyapati. They're very, very. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not take such relish in tasting the sweet mellows of conjugal love from an author who wasn't a very great acharya. Any other questions? Jive shakshat nahi tate guru chaitya rupe, shiksha guru hoya krishna mahanta swarupe. Since one cannot visually experience the presence of the super soul, he appears before us as the liberated devotee. Such a spiritual master is no one other than Krishna himself. Purport: it is not possible for a conditioned soul to directly meet Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if one becomes a sincere devotee and seriously engages in devotional service, Lord Krishna sends an instructing spiritual master to show him favor and invoke his dormant propensity for serving the Supreme. The preceptor appears before the external senses of the fortunate soul, and at the same time the devotee is guided from within by the Chaitya Guru, Krishna, who is seated as the spiritual master within the heart of the living entity. So, in the example of Bilva Mangala Thakur, we find the historical confirmation of this verse of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Because in the impure state we have no access to have direct perception of the Lord in our heart. Therefore, by the mercy of the Lord in the heart, the Chaitya Guru, he appears before us as the instructing gurus and the initiating guru, and lead us to that process of purification by which we can have direct revelation of the Lord within our heart. The story of Srila Bilva Mangala Thakur is a very, very precious example in our Vaishnava history of the process by which a devotee becomes Krishna conscious. And his mood of how he's offering all respects and glorification to all those persons that helped him in his spiritual life is a very wonderful example for all of us to follow.
Thank you very much.